This is Vatican Radio. It's been just over a year since the Dicastery for Laity, Family and Life was created by Pope Francis to replace the Pontifical Council for the Laity and the Pontifical Council for the Family. Since then, this new Dicastery, as it's still often referred to, has been carving out a path under the guidance of its prefect, Cardinal Kevin Farrell, formerly the Bishop of Dallas, Texas in the US, who was asked by the Pope to take up the multifaceted role. Cardinal Farrell spoke to me, Lydia O'Kane, about the workings of this office, the importance of the laity and future projects, which include the 2018 World Meeting of Families to be held in Dublin, Ireland.
Pontifical Council for the Laity and the Pontifical Council for the Family already exist, and they have existed since, you know, almost the end of the Second Vatican Council. They do a tremendous amount of work. And my challenge is to bring it all together and to combine or bring together laity, family, and life. And the logic of all of that, of course, is the fact that, you know, laity live out their lives generally, not always, but generally, in the married state. And it's the married state that gives life to the world. And so obviously it's a great challenge. Another part of all of this is to have lay people more involved in this new dicastery. As you know, the new statute of the dicastery calls for a prefect, obviously, and a secretary who could be a lay person. At the present moment, at the beginning, it's not going to be a layperson at the beginning. But the three undersecretaries, the person who's in charge of the section of the family, the section of life, and the section of the laity, must be laypeople. So the challenge, obviously, one of the great challenges, is to find people who are competent and who have a certain amount of training to be able to cope with the many diverse situations that we find in the laity, that we find in marriage, and that we find in human life. When you think of it, that's not an easy task. It is has been a struggle to find international people, and international I mean by non-Italian, to work at the new dicastery. Of course, it took me almost a year to try and understand exactly what these two pontifical councils have done in the past. And there was no pontifical council for life. That is something new that Pope Francis wished to begin. We have a pontifical academy for life, and we have the John Paul II Institute for the Family. But both of those are more intellectual than they are pastoral. I mean, the Academy for Life are scientists who live in their own world, with all respect to great scientists. But living it each and every day is a different matter. And so my task is to make this one unified effort to promote the laity in the church at all levels and all aspects. And that's what, you know, the new dicastery will do. It will promote the vocation of baptism. Many people think that the laity, getting the laity involved in the church, was something that began with the Second Vatican Council. Wrong. It began under baptism. And that's where we have to share. The lay people have a co-responsibility for the church, and we do need to emphasize that much more. That already takes place in many parts of the world. Where I came from, not originally, but where I spent most of my adult life, was in the United States. Well, they are involved in everything. I mean, my senior staff in Dallas, Texas, had, beside myself, three men and maybe 11 women. There were 12 women and 3 men at the senior level I did not have any priests working in the administration of the diocese. So, you know, that's what I will continue to do, is to promote the laity at every level within the church. But also the laity have to understand that they, not only is this administrative, but it is more than administrative, it is apostolic or evangelical. And that's why the importance of the world gathering of the family. The greatest and most important teachers of the Catholic faith are not the priests. They're not the bishops. They're not the priests. They are the lay people themselves. And they are much more convincing witnesses. I myself experienced as a priest, you know, trying to give marriage courses and pre-marriage courses. Well, nobody listened to me. But if I got a couple up there, you know, who live in the real world, well, that's what happens. They listen. And I would very much, I will and I do, I have promoted them in many places.
At the moment, I mean, would it be fair to say then that the laity are underused?
I would say that not in every country, you cannot generalize, but in some countries they're not utilized at all, the laity. You know, it's still the church of, as Pope Francis will tell you many times and has spoken about it many times, it's too clerical. And we do need lay people involved in the church and in the activities of the church. Not that they become clericalized, but they live their own spirit and their own spirituality, and they are an essential part of the church. The church is for the laity. It's their church. It is the church of all baptized people. Who did Jesus speak to in the Holy Land? Did he speak to the clergy? No. He spoke to the people. And we have to do that. But it was also, you know, the people who, it was the apostles, it was the disciples of Jesus who went around preaching and talking and living the Spirit. And when you think of what they did over the, you know, 2,000 years, look where we are today. It's not all the fruit of the work of the clerics. It is also lay people. I am immensely impressed in my... I've been a priest for 40 years. I've been the bishop for almost 20 years. I would say that in the last couple of months, I have seen in my life for the first time the great works that the laity do. And what I think of Brazil, I'm amazed by what the laity do in a country like Brazil in teaching the gospel and so many other parts of the world. So I think that this is a time, the Second Vatican Council called for this. We haven't implemented to its fullest extent. And I think now is the time that we have to move forward with what the council called for. The vocation of the laity within the church. I do not want to make the laity clerics, and, you know, that's not what this is about. This is about normal, everyday Catholics living their faith and giving witness to their belief and their faith in Jesus Christ.
Under the remit of your dicastery is the World Meeting of Families, which will take place in Dublin next year. It's now just under a year away. There was the launch there recently. How pleased are you with how the preparations are going?
I believe that the preparations are going extremely well. I was in Ireland for about 2 weeks recently. I probably visited about 20 parishes all over, not all over, in the southern part of Ireland. And I was highly impressed to find the poster of the World Gathering of the Family in all the churches I visited, with the exception of one, and that was a tiny little church. But it was there. And that just shows you to the extent. And I believe, although I was not present, but I have had some reports about NOC when they rolled out the program recently. And there is, I can tell you, internationally also a lot of interest, because I get correspondence, or rather the office gets correspondence here, requesting information about Ireland. And I believe that Archbishop Dermot Martin has done a very good, wonderful job, and Father Tim Bartlett and Anne Walsh, they have worked extremely hard, and they're putting together a very good program. So I believe it will be a great success, and everybody in Ireland should be there. And I hope that the Holy Father, I believe, as the Holy Father said to me when I said to him, "Now you are going to be there," he responded and said, "Yes, Peter will be there. If I'm alive, I'll be there. Peter will be Francis." So, yes, the Holy Father would love to visit, love to be there for the gathering of the family. This is a unique and wonderful opportunity to support family life. I mean, when you look around, I get the international press, what do you call that, gathering of all these articles. Every day I read about what's happening to the families in Europe, in Latin America, in the Middle East, in Australia, in the Philippines, everywhere. The family is truly under attack. And this is a moment when we bring Catholics and Christians, not only Catholics and Christians, all people of goodwill who believe strongly in the importance of the family for the success of humanity. And let us not forget, there is no life outside of the family.
I was going to ask you about how hard it is for families today, and because there's so many challenges, there's economic challenges, there's pressures on marriage, there's pressures on young people. So how can the church sustain families in these realities today?
I think one of the most important things about the families and understanding the reality of the world that we live in. There is a point in Amoris Laetitia where the Holy Father speaks about, you know, perhaps too many rules and regulations, you know, make it difficult for families to continue their life. I think the pastoral approach of Pope Francis is unique and exceptionally well thought out, inspired by the Holy Spirit. I really do think it is to accompany people in their difficulties also. We have to propose marriage to people as the joy of the gospel, as of living what Christ spoke to us about. And it is a great opportunity, this world gathering of the family, to encourage each other to live the values, but not denying that there are all kinds of difficulties. There are people, you know, dead set against it, but we believe in marriage as the union between a man and a woman, and that it is through that interaction that life comes into the world. And so I think it is the document that the Holy Father wrote, especially after the most consulted issue ever in the Catholic Church. I mean, when you think it went all over the world, the questionnaires, it went all over, you know, we had two synods. When did we have two synods on any topic? Never. So it really was consulted, and the Holy Father really listened. He sat there through every session and took notes and paid attention to what was going on. This is not a document that was written by a couple of theologians that sat there who have no experience of human life. Well, I shouldn't say that. They do have experience of human life, but they don't experience marriage, many of them. Maybe some of the theologians did, but it wasn't written by them. It was written by a man who listened to the concerns of bishops from Africa, from Asia, from Australia, from the United States, Canada, Latin America, and the Philippines. And he tried to show us a way forward. And the way forward is that we care for each other and that we help people. We don't tell them a rule, we show them how to live. And that's why I believe that this is very important for Ireland and very important for the whole world.
In the lead up to this event, Pope Francis has been very keen that families reflect on the themes of Amoris Laetitia, hasn't he?
I will say that Amoris Laetitia is one of the very few church documents that any layperson can read and understand. It is written in a very simple, pastoral, down-to-earth language, from husbands and wives throwing plates at each other, you know, as Pope Francis mentioned one day, to, you know, deep theology about the relationships. It is very well put together. It talks about, it begins with the concept of the human love, what, you know, each chapter goes one section, marriage in the Bible, marriage in the reality today, the difficulties that couples encounter, how they can be helped, how they should understand and care for each other, how they should express their love for each other. It gets into details, all the things that came out in the Synod of Bishops. And it is it's very well written and very simple to understand. I encourage everybody, look, don't read what the, and not that I'm insulting the news media, but don't read the news media about it. Read what the document says and then make your decision. And because we can all read things and, you know, listen to what other opinions are. This document is written for the average Catholic, Christian, you know, and can understand it. And it is, yes, there are. We do recognize there are great difficulties in society today. Everybody understands it. From excessive individualism, which really prohibits the communication of two human beings between each other, because it's all about me, to the pressures that people have as far as the economic pressure that families are under in today's world. And laws and society in general, do not support family life today. Our economy does not support family life today. The family is on its own. There was a time when governments had that as the number one issue, to support family life. That's no longer the case. Now we support individuals. And marriage or not marriage, that's your choice. Well, I believe that that is a great mistake that we have all made.
I wanted to come back to Dublin and the significance in 2018 having the event in Europe and in the Irish capital.
Pope Francis chose it to be in Ireland. It would be our hope that we would give an impulse to the family in Ireland. It is a unique opportunity for Ireland. There were many other options, but Pope Francis chose Ireland and hoped that that would attract people from Northern Europe. As you know, the World Gathering of the Families has taken place in Philadelphia in the United States. Before that, it was in Milan. Then it was in Mexico City, the Rio, I forget the history. And it is, I believe, a great opportunity for families in Ireland to come out. It's been 40 years since the Pope traveled to Ireland.
Do you remember 79 in Phoenix Park?
I was in the United States at that time, so working as a priest, so I was not there. But I remember my parents talking to me about it, and I think it is a great opportunity. And Pope Francis is such a great example and apostolate of who and what Jesus Christ was. I mean, when you meet with him, he talks like the kid next door. He's just a normal, you know, it's a person. And when, you know, he meets with those who are sick, he has the ability to empathize with everybody who suffers. And we all suffer. I mean, there is suffering in our lives each and every day. And marriage is one of the places that there is a lot of suffering and a lot of pain. And we have to heal that. And that's why the effort is not so much, you know, is the effort that must be made in the church today is to accompany people who are in trouble. You know, I remember, you know, in Ireland when I was back in the 50s, you know, a teenager growing up, you know, if somebody were non-Catholic in Dublin, you know, or somebody was divorced or what, not divorced because we didn't even know what that word meant in the 1950s, but if they were separated or something, there were difficulties, they were put out of the church almost. You know, how wrong was that when you think that Christ came on earth for the sinners, not for the saints? And the good people, and what I sometimes ironically state, you know, the holy, holy people who are saints in their own minds, you know, criticize these poor people. The church, that's what the church is for. Bring them into the church, for God's sake. Christ wanted to talk to them. Didn't he talk to the woman at the well? Didn't he talk to the Samaritan woman? And what about the woman who was being stoned to death? When he should have walked away and mind his own business, is that what the good Catholics would think? No, he didn't. I'm always impressed, too, by Christ and the story of the prodigal son. The one person that, you know, you feel like, oh, this creep, you know, who got all his inheritance after his father worked very hard. What did Christ do? The gospel only tells us he embraced him and didn't ask him one question. Never said, where were you, what were you doing, and what were you thinking about? Never said one thing. He embraced him and welcomed him home. And those people, the elder brother, and many of the good Christians and good Catholics, you know, keep those people. They don't deserve to be in the church.
I'm just going to ask you, on a personal note, being a native of Dublin, is it with a sense of pride for you that the World Meeting of Families is in Dublin?
Absolutely. I can't wait to be there to welcome the Holy Father when he gets off that plane and to stand up and say, you know, welcome Holy Father to the land of saints and scholars and sinners. We've got a few of them too. But it is, you know, to me it is. I can't explain it to you. I have in my life had the opportunity. I remember when Irish radio interviewed me in Dallas, Texas. I was the bill for the 50th anniversary of the death of John Kennedy. Well, I was overcome by emotion many times, thinking that I was the one that was standing there. I remember the day he was shot. I was in Drimna Castle School, you know, in Dublin, in Drimna. And, you know, I remember that day so well, but to be then here 50 years later, I'm standing in the center of Dallas. Well, I hope to stand in Dublin and welcome the Pope to Dublin. I know that's Archbishop Martin's job, of course, you know. I'm an outsider now.
Just on a final note, Cardinal Farrell, you were talking about suffering and the suffering of people, the suffering that people experience. All the suffering there is, as prefect of this dicastery, does it kind of spur you on to defend with all your heart life in from, as they say, from the beginning to natural end?
It does. It makes me want to do that, but it also makes me want to make people care about each other. I mean, we live in a world today where there's such a sense of individualism. I believe, and I would give my life all over again just to make people care about each other. You have, you know, we're not going to survive on our own. You have to have neighbors and friends and, you know, sure, neighbors sometimes can be a pain, but they can be very supportive. And we're not going to survive on our own. We do need friends. We need the closeness of each other. We're all one family. You know, whether we were born in Dublin or we were born in Cork or we were born in Galway or Belfast or Derry or Limerick, wherever we were born in Ireland, we're basically one family. And human beings, whether they're in Central Africa, we're all the same. And we all suffer the same way. And we all suffer the same pain. And so I do believe that we have got to, you know, modern means of communication has created a great challenge for the success of relationships. You know, I get annoyed sometimes when people take out cell phones and I see them there, you know, texting one another. I was recently in a restaurant, you know, and I saw this couple across the way from me. And I mean, here's a couple, and the two of them have cell phones. Now, there could have been reasons. They're checking on their kids or whatever. I shouldn't misjudge them, but it's symbolic of what we're going through at the moment. And young people, you know, they live on there. They don't talk to the kids. We used to have to, you know, when I was growing up in Drimna, we, after tea, which was at 6 o'clock, right after the Angelus bell or whatever, and we would be out on the street then. Of course, living on one street, we had to go up around the corner so we wouldn't be seen. But everybody was in everybody's business. I mean, neighbors were neighbors. And if somebody was sick and somebody was ill, I always remember, you know, my mother baking something. I don't know what she was baking, but, and, you know, I was, and my three brothers were dying to get our hands on it, you know. And no, that was for some woman around the back whose, you know, husband had lost his job or something. I mean, when would that happen today? Unfortunately, it doesn't. And it's one of the things in Amoris Laetitia that the Pope calls for. Couples are going to have challenges in life, and we need to help them. And it's not we as the priest in the parish. As I said to you earlier, you know, the least successful witnesses in marriage and the success of marriage may be priests, because they were never married, they're not married, they don't live in those kind of relationships. And so get lay people to do it. The lay people have to be the ones to give premarital courses and to give, you know, counseling to other couples who've been married 5, 6, 7 years. Well, they need to hear from couples who've been married 20 and 25 years and have lived through the war. I mean, the war between them. The challenges of life.